Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel to the rosary to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. Good to see you.
How is life, Philip?
It's going okay. How about you?
So I'm doing fine. I went hiking for the first time in 3 months, and everybody who knows me knows that I'm a little nicer during the week if I get to hike on Monday. So I went hiking to this park that has a very strange name, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's Roche Acri. It's 1 hour south of Stevens Point. And if anybody listening knows the right pronunciation, I would love to know.
All right.
We did have the Feast of the Sacred Heart last week, and the Archbishop came. It's the name of my parish. And the Archbishop came to celebrate Mass. And it was nice. We have Mass at 10 a.m. these days, ever since March 14, ever since the shutdown started. And we are keeping it for June and discussing what to do moving forward.
Good.
But it was a great celebration. It was good to have him.
Excellent. All right. You want to get into it here?
I think we should.
Yeah. So this will be the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time coming up, and I'll read the Gospel. What am I going to read?
You are reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 37 to 42.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man, because he is a righteous man, will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." So what I found particularly helpful this year going into Ordinary Time, maybe because, you know, we had a little more time because of safer at home or quarantine, maybe to map this out. But, you know, it's just the organization of Matthew's Gospel. And as we work through that in Ordinary Time, it helps you. It clarifies a lot of what's going on here. And what's happening right here is we're still in, really, for only this last week, this 13th Sunday, really this introduction to the mission of discipleship. This missionary introduction here is ending. And here, of course, with the demands. In a sense, the words of, spoiler alert, the words of comfort come next week. But at the moment, here are really those demands of discipleship. And again, as you know, sometimes we come back to things over and over. We've joked about that as preachers. But what I appreciate about what Jesus asks here is, yes, it's challenging, but it's very clear. You know, it's very clear. It's very simple and very direct. Simple probably isn't the right word, but very direct in what's required of disciples every day.
And it may sound shocking for some people, no, coming to church And it says if you don't hate your mother, your father, your son, your daughter. But it kind of makes sense if you understand what Jesus is saying. It's difficult. There is a price to be a disciple, and we normally don't want to pay it. We have tamed the message of Jesus. So when a message like this comes up, then we struggle a little bit. I remember recently we had the feast of Corpus Christi, you remember? And and then I said, imagine Jesus, what image of Jesus comes to your mind? And the point was to see that Jesus is many things in the gospel. And we tend to forget, for instance, the Jesus that turns tables in the temple, or the Jesus that fights with the Pharisees, or the Jesus that is telling us there is a price to follow me. And we prefer to choose other images of Jesus, the cross, but especially things that do not change us. Whereas here, the demand is upon us. I cannot love people from my family more than I love Jesus, or what Jesus is telling me. It's a shocking message, but it makes sense, I think.
Yeah, what I notice here in Matthew's gospel is there's a sense of, you know, these things all go together. So Jesus here, at least in this gospel, I think there's somewhere else in the gospels where Jesus, at least in English, the word comes up as hates mother or father. Mm-hmm. Here, Jesus says it a little differently. Whoever loves father or mother more than me, is that saying that, you know, these things are all separate? You know, when you love God, when you love the Lord, all these other relationships make sense. It's all about priorities. That's what life is all about. And if I were to kind of, you know, attach a secular kind of word to the task of discipleship, prioritization would be one of those ones that always comes to the top, because we're all limited in terms of resources, money, and energy. But what really is most important in our lives? And Jesus is saying here, my relationship with you has to be most important. Your relationship with God has to be most important.
The way I think about this, I agree totally with you. The way I think about this, one way to understand what Jesus is saying is, what defines you? What's your main identity? And Jesus is telling you, your main identity should be a follower of Christ, a child of God, follower of Christ, whatever you want to call it. So our being somebody's husband or wife, or even somebody's father or mother, even though that's very important, obviously, it's not our crucial or our most important identity. Because that's what happens with people. If your child defines your life, well, children do get out of the house at some point, later and later these days, right? But then people feel like the empty nest syndrome, and we feel like we have spent so much time and so much attention to that person, and that person is gone. Now what? You know, and people experience that sadness when that happens. No, I think Jesus is asking us, what's your identity? What's your main identity?
Right.
And then make choices according to that.
The amount, I would say the quantity and the expanse of distractions from what should be our core identity is really incredible when you think about it. Bishop Skilba wrote a really interesting column in the Catholic Herald here in Milwaukee a few weeks ago about a book that he had read, and really how where people live really defines them, that people kind of cluster together. And this is a United States context, but kind of cluster together. But I don't think we quite appreciate, and I guess I didn't always appreciate that even myself, that you just take it for granted that, you know, I live right now kind of in a city environment, and thus I've got a different personality than someone out in the country or particular people that are around me. But anyway, my point, this is a roundabout way of saying there are a lot of things that compete for our identity out in the world. I think for us as priests, we need to be sensitive to the fact that, I don't want to call it easier, but it is a little easier for us because it is our vocation. It's what we do in being a priest of Jesus Christ. It's what we think about, what we live all the time. And thus to kind of understand ourselves from that role and as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I think comes a little more naturally. And sometimes I've had to step back and to think, all right, well, this person has a lot of distractions in their life. And that's not a bad thing, you know, a lot of distractions. But this role as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to really work on growing that in an individual or in a community. Does that make sense?
Totally. Some 30 years ago, I told a priest, it's easy for you to say that because you're a priest. And then he said, so what keeps you from being a priest? And here we are. So, yeah.
Right.
I do understand. Are we avoiding the second part of the gospel? Not an easy one.
Yeah. And I'd say not an easy one just linguistically, trying to kind of follow here what's going on. Do you have thoughts about that?
Not much. Whoever receives you receives me. How many times Jesus says, makes a point, especially in John's gospel, that he's sent by God. He says what God is telling him. He does what God is telling him to do. this is like following that line. If you are a disciple, whomever receives you receives the blessing of receiving you because you are from me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Whoever gives only a cup of cold water, I mean, even if it's little to someone, mm-hmm. but that person is a disciple, then that person will be blessed.
Exactly.
But part of this, if you look at the first reading this weekend, it's Elijah, I believe, that has dinner with a prominent woman, and the prominent woman prepares a room for him. So then he asks his servant, what does she need? And she needs a son. She wants a son. That's the only thing she hasn't had the ability to have. And he says, you will be rewarded. What is interesting, a year from now, when I come back to you, you will be a mother. Which is a beautiful reading, very interesting. Mm-hmm. But don't we get the teaching from Jesus that we shouldn't expect any rewards? And this gospel and this part of the gospel and this first reading seems to say that if you are a follower of Christ, you will be rewarded.
Right. You know, it stands out as I look at this a little bit more closely is that word receive. Whoever receives a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous man. Do you think today in our world that we're able to receive very easily? So think about, I'm going to receive someone else's opinion. Do you think there's anyone out there who says it with calmness?
I agree with you, but before we go into the more literal sense, in that culture, the issue of hospitality and somebody coming to your place or somebody dining with you, it was much more important than we seem to sure. make it now. That would be the first thing. Now, before you said that, I was thinking about parishes. How do we receive people? Receiving people is very difficult. And you are saying now less literally, more receiving opinions. Oh, yeah. Well, we are at a time where people don't listen. We listen to reply almost, right? We listen to someone, we receive someone's opinion, and we are thinking what our counter argument will be. Mm-hmm. So I would agree. But I would like to reflect about the gift of hospitality. It may be lost these days, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing to think about. I think you're right. I would take a little different approach. I want to think about communications and humility, being open to receiving the life and the gift of another person. Right now, again, I don't think we're very good at that mm-hmm. in so many ways. It's, I think, two different ways to look at that word receive. That would be really interesting, and maybe we'll see how that turns out after our homilies.
What's your intuition? What do you think you're going to preach about?
I don't know yet.
Slow cooker.
It is, because this is, again, one of those gospels that there's a lot of clarity there, I think, from Jesus, thank goodness. So I need to pray and to think a little more about what this means for our community that I'll be preaching at.
What I know for sure is that anything I would say now would not be what I would preach about. I'm pretty convinced. It's a gospel that needs more rumination from me.
Exactly. And we're on the same page.
So many times people ask, do you preach what you say in the podcast? And it ends up being something completely different.
Correct.
I'm pretty sure today it would be something else.
I'm on the same page.
So right. We're going to leave it like this. People will have to come to church
online
streaming in our case to see what we say.
That's right. All right, so how about we get together next week again? Would that be good for you?
That would be fine.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.